Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on, we would like to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, plus there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. And it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Does everything happen for a reason? And is there such thing as the one? And are you here for Reggie and Joelle getting it on? And we have a very, very, very special guest for you guys. That and more. Season 2, episode 10, the last one. Dear White People, coming up.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, hey.
Step my money fast and go fast, fast, fast. Fast like a Lambo.
Oh, okay.
Jumping
okay.
Off the stage.
Those moves you put on there, I think we can go to clubs.
I'm the fourth Migos, so
right?
You know.
Well, I didn't know. That's what you do on your off times. Welcome, guys. My name is TK Trinidad. Dear White People, episode 10, season 2. Let's get into it. I'm going to introduce my co-host. We have the beautiful one, Ivana Williams.
Oh, hi. Thank you, beautiful. Hey, y'all. It's Ivana.
We have the man, the myth, the legend, the handsome Keith Andre.
Hey, y'all. Hey.
And the fourth Migo and model part-time, Nate Miller.
That way.
And our very special guest, he plays Wesley Alvarez on Dear White People, Rudy Martinez.
What's up,
Rudy?
Hey, guys.
So how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Have you seen any of our... I don't even want to put you on the spot, but now I have. Have you seen any of our after shows?
Yes, I have.
Okay, so I just...
I love them.
Sometimes get a little wild, so I didn't want to be like, somebody invites you to AfterBuzz again. It's like, no, I'm not.
No, I've seen what I'm getting into.
Okay, right, just, okay. It's like, I need to research. Just
I'm prepared.
Definitely, we're going to finish up our last and final for this season, because they haven't announced it, but I know Dear White People season 3 is going to happen.
Hey.
I'm putting it in the clouds. Jesus. Take the wheel. We are going to be doing our Dear White People segment. But let's get into it. How did you guys like the last episode?
I liked it. I felt it was very fitting. I wasn't mad at it.
Yeah, I agree. I was here for it. It's a nice close, put a bow on him. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to the next part of the story.
Yeah. I was very disappointed.
Oh.
Why?
Shocking.
I held the first season to a very high standard. Which it lived up to, and I don't think this season matches it. And especially the last episode, it feels more like it's like a season 1.5 than a season 2. It just feels like a big tease, and we got this big reveal that essentially means nothing. Yeah. And then everybody just like had sex this episode. I was like, here, everybody have sex, and now you find Order X, come back next season.
What's wrong with that?
I know, I was here for this.
I just expected more, that's all.
Now, did you get to watch it before it came out on Netflix, or did you watch it?
I watched it the day it came out, like the midnight it came out.
Okay,
I was there.
Wow. Yeah. So you didn't know, because obviously you guys shot more than what was kind of in there. So,
You mean like
you got shot? What?
No, I mean filmed more.
Yeah. There's always a little bit more that they film that gets cut out. For me, it was like that's pretty much what we filmed.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Wait, are you talking about the sex scene too?
Yeah, I'm talking about the sex scene.
Damn. Okay. I got so many questions about those sex
scenes.
I know.
I'm glad you don't ask.
I know. That was gonna be what we were gonna talk about in
Oh, well, let me know when you're ready.
We're gonna kind of get
turn stage.
Oh, I'm ready. So,
So Lionel and Wesley kind of get it on. So you wanna hit off with the questions? You said you had some questions.
Oh yes, I do. First of all, in our live chat, what's going on, y'all? Somebody already said hello, Rudy. And they said, hey, I'm so happy Lionel finally got some buns.
Wow.
To me, I mean, you're just so new and like young and fresh on TV, so I didn't know if you'd ever filmed a sex scene like that before. It was so real and awkward.
Yeah. No, I've never filmed a sex scene before. I've never done like a kiss on TV before.
Oh wow.
I mean I've done like my share of like TV and stuff, but I'm not really considered for parts like that.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
So it was new, but it was fun and it was exciting.
Yeah.
It was definitely awkward. But you know, not in a bad way.
Yes, it was in a good way.
In the way they intended it, and it's not like a traditional sex scene. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. So
when I interviewed Justin Simien about y'all's sex scene specifically, I said, you know, it was just so awkward, but it felt so real and humanizing. Mm-hmm. And he said, yeah, I mean, because so many times in films or, you know, television shows, it's like so glamorous and beautiful, and that's not how it is, you know. And it's Lionel, and he's awkward, so. Mm-hmm. I really appreciated that part. Did y'all talk each other through the blocking? Like, I wonder how
Was there a sock involved?
There was a sock involved.
Do you guys know what the sock is?
Just one sock?
Sure do. I know where it goes.
No, yeah. It's like, when I arrived that day to set, I had a choice of I could pick my costume, and it was a sock.
Uh-huh.
It was a G-string.
Uh-huh. Hey.
Or a pasty.
Okay.
And then I think like a brief, kind of like a small brief, and I was like, I'll take the brief.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then you go and you rehearse, and then you just shoot it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because I thought you were completely naked. You said you took the brief.
Yeah, because I think when you saw them, you saw them from the hip up.
Yeah.
You didn't see.
Well, I saw Deron's butt cheeks.
Did you?
Sure, yeah.
I'm gonna have to roll that back. I didn't see those.
No, you actually might have seen it when they're over top. You saw the small of his back, but when they were doing, when you're seeing them on top of each other.
So did he also choose briefs?
He did, but I'm pretty sure they made him wear
the sock.
Exactly. Thank you.
I think that was the last scene where they cut away. So like they're actually. I think he says this feels nice.
We get it.
Yeah. So
it might have been blurred out. Yeah.
Okay, well, that's all my question. I'll leave it alone. I just really wanted to know how y'all shot that scene, because I didn't know if I had seen, you know, the guy who plays Lionel. I didn't ever think he did any sex scenes like that, you know, so I just didn't know how that was able to work with you all. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Justin is such a great director that, you know, it was, he talked us through it. He told us about, you know, what his vision was, and it was, I like that it was played for comedy and played for the awkwardness.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you guys did a great job. I mean, it was a beautiful display of that. Both of you have a background in theater. Both are trained. So, and like you said, when you think of like stature or who's going for sex scenes, I think both of you are not on quote unquote the list. So it's nice to see actors and people of color and be seen in that light when it's not a role that's quote unquote for that type of exposure.
Yeah.
So speaking of sex scenes, the first topic we're talking about is just essentially sex scenes and the friendships. Coco and Kurt, were you guys there for that?
No. I'm not. I'm sorry. It's not my
thing. Now, is it because of his race, or is it just because of who he is, or is that...
I think it's a little bit of both.
Because she looks... I mean, I wasn't surprised that she was with a white guy. It's just that white guy. It's like... That wasn't surprising that she was with that white guy. It was just kind of like, I don't know.
I didn't expect Coco to be...
With a white guy?
Mm-mm.
Oh, no.
You still picture her, like, dating and marrying a black man?
I don't know. I don't really think about her that much.
Like to
not in a bad way, but I don't really look at her character and think, like, ooh, let's see, she's going to end up with so-and-so. But seeing, like, somebody have sex, I just didn't expect it to be.
She
like,
was a little reluctant, though. I mean, well, because she was kind of using him for, I guess, to get, like, the faculty codes to get everybody into the theater.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about wanting to move forward.
Yeah.
And she was a little like...
Well, was it move forward, or he just wanted to kiss her? Because he wanted to kiss her on the lips, and she's like, no. Because everybody has their different things. So, like, some people, it's not a relationship if you don't kiss the person on the lips. So she didn't want to do a relationship. She's probably still down to sleep with him. But he wanted to kiss her, and maybe to him, that's not being a relationship. That's he just wanted to kiss her because, you know, ethnic folks have nicer lips. So it's just kind of like one of those... one of those things. She probably had juicy lips and he wanted to kiss her and she's like, no, like, it doesn't follow my rules and my guidelines. However, I do think, I do see there's a possibility with them because they both seem like they're very German people, and it doesn't seem like Coco would be hung up on the fact that he's not black as long as he's doing what, in her mind, a man, a husband, a father should do. Mm-hmm. So... I mean, if you can get a white dude, you might as well get with the one who's gonna have some pull.
Okay. Someone with status.
Yeah.
I would like to call attention to last week when we talked about the kinship between Sam's mom and Coco.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'd like to say.
Okay. You're so smart.
Come on.
Oh.
Come on.
I see.
You just dropped that gem there. Just yeah. I like it.
Okay, yeah, I mean, I was not surprised at all. I actually like them together because I think that he would, I think she has the power in the relationship, and he like likes her, and I think also likes not being able to have the power.
Yeah.
And she would be able to do
just run stuff,
whatever she wants, you know what I mean?
As so. Long as he doesn't get into that freaky white guy thing, that's the whole issue.
I mean, but if that's what she wants, let her have what she wants.
No, but that's not, we'll talk
like
about
like race play.
No.
Wait,
whoa. No. No, there's
wow. Like, what do you say?
No,
fetish,
no, some there's different types of white guys, and some white guys, like, you know, they date a black girl because she's just able, they just want to date a black girl, and then they have one of the white guys who, like, they just want them, some white guys, they want them to control them, so they're into that S, like the BDSM and all that type of stuff. Mm. And Coco's not about that life, so as long as he's not into that life, then you know.
I could see Coco being a dominatrix.
She could in like a very gentle way, but not like she has like a closet.
How can you be a gentle dominatrix? You
slap somebody on the ass, like that's considered dominatrix.
Right, but I just need,
that's like gentle, but she has a closet like full of whips.
I feel like
right. That's a whole different thing.
Okay.
He's like, oh my God.
Back on track.
Right. So Al is on a mission. He wants to find out who burned down Davis' house. How do you guys feel about that? It feels like he was kind of in the direction with like Reggie or Troy, and now he's kind of created his own clique.
Yeah.
On this mission.
I think it's for the storyline, I think it's a great idea because I was expecting to see more of him this season, but I feel like this is setting him up to really explore his character more for next season, third season. Yeah. So I'm not surprised that he found his own way, and I think publicly, as black folks, we're allowed to disagree with each other, and, you know, we want liberation, we want freedom, and there's different avenues that we all try to get there.
Yeah. I think that's kind of been my question, too. Like, for example, when Stacey Dash came and did her tomfoolery about a year ago, like, I feel like, are we in the position where we can disagree amongst others, or can we, or should we just disagree within our circle until we get it together and then let the world see, you know, what we've kind of come to? Because that's kind of my belief. When you have people who like a Stacey Dash or whoever, and they're the outliers, they're still providing, you know, a Kanye West, they're still providing the folks who are not necessarily for us negative views. So do you think that we should like all get together and disagree amongst ourselves and then figure it out, or is it just like, hey, this is, it is what it is? And
I don't think I mean, how are we supposed to all come together, like, publicly just, and keep folks out, especially in the age of social media?
Yeah,
I don't
it's
know.
Just more of a hope, a dream.
Sure.
Just,
you
know, hope, a dream.
Create a utopia.
A utopia where we get it together. I mean, you know, they burned down all the places when we were creating places like that, but, you know. Digress. So, fine. Al discovers the tape. He finds that it was, oh my gosh, I have his name somewhere. Clifton. He was the one who set the thing on fire in the microwave. That's why Davis' house is no longer. Why do you think they were holding back the tape? Because if they show the tape, it's like, okay, he burned it down by accident. They have to move in with you temporarily. And once they get it back, like, I mean, why didn't they just show the tape?
Why didn't, like, the faculty?
Yeah.
I think Al really needed it to be on purpose, and he finds out that
But the thing is, if they showed the tape, like, if everybody discovered it was Clifton who did it by accident, then there wouldn't be, like, some of the issues wouldn't be an issue, because you know that these people from Davis' house moved in is all an accident,
right.
And it's not done on purpose. Obviously, for the story, it makes sense, but
I feel like that would be strange for the school to, like, just show, like, hey, there was an accident here. Anybody who wants to see the security footage, they can see it.
Well, the school didn't make it aware of what happened. It just was that the school burnt down. The Davis' house burnt down. They didn't say it was an accident.
Right.
You didn't have to say who did it, but you could say it was a glitch or electrical error or something like that. It just, they made it seem like Davis' house burnt down, and that could have been done in several ways.
I think they said it was an accident, and Al didn't believe it was an accident, and that's why he went on looking.
And now, how do you feel? Al, like, his face, and it reminds me of, like, a Spike Lee.
Yeah,
was it Do the Right Thing or something like that?
It does feel a lot like a Spike
that
Lee
moment. Films.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you're right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just double check.
Yes.
So who's
it's
here?
Very Spike Lee. There's lots of Spike Lee influences across this, both seasons of the show.
So he was here for Reggie and Joelle.
I am. I said that a few weeks ago. Me I wanted too. Them to pair up.
Okay.
I don't know. I just can't imagine, like, trying to be with a guy after my best friend. That's just, I'm just having a hard time. That's
there was
all.
That kind of awkward moment when
you
he...
You know?
She, and I appreciate, she told him, yeah.
Yeah, I appreciate when Sam said, you know, y'all don't owe me shit, right? But I'm just like, eh.
But the last look that she gave before she closed the door.
Yeah.
What was that look like, about?
It was a little negative, kind of like a...
Was it a negative? Or was it like, I think it I'm was, taking a last look in because he might have a big thing. Like, girl, I just appreciate...
What? I don't appreciate think that it was
but they already together.
Just appreciate... because he,
they already went there.
Yeah, I think it was a natural reaction. I mean, nobody wants to be a hater. So right. I think she had to check that, but it is like, well, wow, they're about to like...
But she only slept with him once,
and they're about to create
yeah,
something
but,
like
don't
really...
don't you feel like a sense of ownership a little bit?
Like maybe
you starting
like
a collection
possessive.
In future over here.
Well, it kind of feels like how her and Reggie got together. Not... It was such a dicey situation. It wasn't like
was a mistake.
Yeah, he was pursuing her, yeah. And obviously Troy got to her first, and then she got to Gabe, and then like in that it was how it happened. It seemed like it was more of a mistake.
Yeah, it's not like they went out on a few dates and then hooked up a few times and then it didn't work out. Like She was rebounding off of being upset about Gabe, and he was freaking out because he just had a gun pointed in his face, and he was super vulnerable.
For sure, but I still think it's a natural reaction if you slept with someone to like take a gaze and be like,
But if you
and now they're with your best friend.
But if you're in that moment and you're single, for sure. But if you're in that moment and you just she just is now reconnecting with Gabe, and we see them in bed too. I don't think she's.
I would.
Really. Yeah. You would.
Okay. Yeah.
I think that would be understandable.
I think that look was because I appreciate the human body, and Reggie looks like he looked good naked.
You really?
Like,
think
I feel. I feel like it was like a last because she didn't get to appreciate it the first time because they are both so distraught.
Yeah.
So she's doing a look back like, oh, okay.
I think she appreciated it.
Yeah. Well, she appreciated the main
she
part,
appreciated it.
But like the.
No, she appreciated it. You need to go back and watch that scene because she appreciated all of it. Okay. They were like,
right. Yeah, it seems like she was
chest and like it was like a.
Seems like
Nubian
she was letting
African,
him go.
Nubian, African, like, okay, sensual dream. It was very...
No, I'm not saying she didn't like it, but the thing is, when you only do it once, you can't appreciate the person from all the angles. So she might have got a different angle that she didn't see the first time.
Like, all right. Okay, now turn. Okay, now
stand
still.
Like, okay,
let me paint you.
Yeah,
now.
And then send the picture so I can collect it in the gallery. Yes. So,
We want to create a virtual copy so we can hologram, so then you can watch it all the
next.
Time.
Sam and Gabe, you guys here for their back together, or do you think it was just a? Do you think it was a get?
I don't know how I feel.
They got back together sexually as far as a form of goodbye, like they're ending it, or is this a restart to the relationship?
I think it's a restart.
Frustrating is what it is.
Gosh,
I don't know if it's a restart or not. I think they both, you know, needed
just missed each
other. In that
yeah,
right. They wanted it, but. I don't know if it'll be the continuation of their relationship.
And I think she texted him after she saw Joel and Reggie.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying. Just putting it out there.
That's how it be.
Just how it be.
You just need a little spark or something to be like,
A little spark. Let's get a little spark of that live read, though.
Oh, yes. Hey, AfterBuzzers.
Only the smoothest of
friends. Yeah.
Right. Well, I mean, it's all the way over there. I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to do
I
this.
But I got you. I'm quick with it, honey. Here at the network, we produce after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows, from dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more. There's no network that works harder to serve television fans, okay? But now we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. Besides helping us a ton, here's what's in it for you. It caters specific content you already like directly to you. It brings you your favorite after show so you don't have to seek them out. And it suggests content from other channels or podcasts that might interest you. Subscribing to our YouTube channels will also help you discover new shows you were sure you'll love. Since you're already tuned in to our comedy, you can also watch Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, Younger. Those are some shows you might be interested in. And remember, we have channels for other genres as well. So please don't be shy about subscribing to them either. And if you're worried about pesky notifications, you don't have to because they're optional. We don't want to blow you up, okay? It's easy. Just hit the subscribe button now for an even easier AfterBuzz experience. And if you let us know that you did in the comments, we'll shout you out on air. Thanks for being the best fans, and we promise to continue to do our best to serve you. Speaking of our fans, you have a big fan in here. Trinity Boy 27 said, you look amazing today, TK.
Oh.
Just saying.
Thanks, homie.
Just saying. He's laughing at your little jokes and stuff. You killing me, TK. Girl. Okay. TK got a fan.
All right.
He was with us the last time we did Dear White
People.
Oh,
I know.
Okay. Yeah. Just let you know.
Yeah.
Speaking of, with Sam and Lionel, they're on the hunt for the Secret Society, Order X. Do you think they should be doing something other than that?
Like, y'all don't have nothing else to do.
It was finals week. Like, they're staying for the finals. Like, the last thing you want to do is comb. Like,
now I gotta solve. Yeah.
Like, you staying through all his finals, and now he developed a whole system of finding the Order X. No, you
know? No, I agree with him.
I was just like,
a lie.
I agree. But the, I mean, if you have a mark on your door, and you know, they were like marked, you kind of have to like scratch that itch. I don't know.
You do.
Yeah, but it's like not your door technically, because you know it's like
it could have been Joelle. Like,
yeah, it could have been Joelle, or that could have been there like the whole season, and nobody noticed it until it was. You know, it's like it's not your, it's not brand new per se. But I mean, it's finals week, so like the last thing I wanted to do after I finished my finals was read some more. Yeah. Like, so kudos to them.
As far as the X on the door, I don't remember them alluding to an X on the door in season one. So I felt like this was new, and they're trying to get some of the young black students' attention on purpose.
Yeah.
And they didn't do it last season. So,
but it'd be kind of funny if they just didn't notice it. You know, like, say they put the X on the door.
It's been there for like decades.
And they didn't notice it. Just
been there for years.
So, with the help of Sam's dad, which was amazing. Which, here's my question too: do you think Sam's dad either knew somebody from the Order of X, or was aligned? No.
No, I think he just found those old books.
He found the old books, but he just seemed so. It just seems like people who are not of the culture, who are so invested.
Like, he wanted to be a nice white and help out.
No, not he was beyond that, though. Like, you have those people.
Yeah.
But then you have people who are genuinely, like, they're you could tell the difference. And to me, he didn't seem like, I want to save all the black people. Sorry. He just seemed like he genuinely, like, wanted to know about the culture.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He wanted to, like, help to tell a story, like an untold story or something.
Yeah, but not, like on the game sense.
Not that way.
Yeah.
No.
So, but it seems like he's been doing this for such a long period of time, like, like college days.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, in his college days, if he had met somebody from the Order of X that, you know, and then fast forward, he now found these books, and was it all a play?
I don't know.
Maybe it could all tie in.
Right.
Later.
So, you're sitting over there like you know something.
Oh, I don't technically know.
He might.
You said technically. You said technically.
Yeah. No, I don't actually know anything. I don't really.
You can mess up now. We're like, so what do you mean?
Just with me technically, like, look. So they discover, they kind of find everything out through the books and the X's on the doors. They go to the point where they, what is it, like, is it the basement, right?
Mm-hmm.
They go, it's the bell tower.
Oh, it's the bell, it's the bell tower.
Didn't we see the dog again up there, too?
Sorbet. Yeah. Sorbet gets rediscovered. Which, why do you think there was a reason why Lionel saw Sorbet three times, and Sorbet is kind of a, because we see Sorbet in season one, but it seems like Sorbet almost has, like,
Well, she's talking now.
Yeah.
Sorbet is also voiced by Loretta Devine.
Yeah.
So Loretta Devine got something to tell us.
He was tripping balls.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, but still.
Sorbet has a purpose. Does Sorbet
have a purpose for season three?
I don't think so. I think you're reading into it. I think it was just funny for Sorbet to show up there.
Sorbet's going to be the new narrator now that
I love that.
Giancarlo Esposito.
Yes.
He's broken the fourth wall.
So now it's going to be Sorbet.
I mean, just kidding. No, I love that.
I love that. The dog person. That would be interesting.
Tell me just saying. I think there's a reason why we see Sorbet like that.
Yeah.
Because we see Sorbet in season one, but Sorbet was just.
It almost feels like what's like when you're playing a mystery. You have like little whatchamacallit. They give you like clues and hints and stuff. So I think so.
Yeah, like Sorbet is a breadcrumb.
Yeah, every when you reach it, yes,
show up,
exactly.
We find another
so
piece.
They get to the bell tower, and before you know, we have the mystery guests show up. They kind of essentially voice everything that's been happening for the semester. Like, you know, Lionel's kind of getting to a place where he's, you know, he has a guy that likes him, but now the guy doesn't want to be in a relationship because he thinks that's not the thing, which...
right? Yeah.
Kind of heartbreaking.
I think he wants to be with Lionel, but he just doesn't want to be bound by, you know,
yeah, but
the confines of gender norms. And
it feels like when people say that, like, yeah, they might be in the one-on-one relationship, but then it's like if they haven't discussed being in a relationship, then, like, you know, Wesley can hop off to, you know.
That's an easy out. You might say that to set the table.
Like, we weren't really together, but we're hanging out now, but I can hang out with, you know,
I have a
Hendrix.
Question about that. Yeah. Because I feel like in a lot of heterosexual relationships, they, like, are very what do you call it? Like, it's all about monogamy. You know, they're very critical on that, on monogamy. So I don't know in the LGBT community if y'all are more open to polyamory or having more open relationships at all.
I don't know. I mean, I haven't studies, but, you know.
So y'all also, like,
Keith.
For me. I can only speak for myself. We've all have had experiences, but I don't think that it's a big, like, people who are just like, oh, let's do this and hang out, but it's okay if we see other people and define. And I think it's that same, like, thread of human experience. You naturally want to be with just one person, or I feel like in Wesley's case, maybe because he is young or his past experiences, he doesn't know that he's ready to be in a one-on-one relationship. But I don't be talking about no
polyamory. What are your thoughts?
I don't know if it's more prevalent,
because I think, like, now, as you know, we're becoming more fluid sexually and with gender, and a lot of people are just making their own terms for relationships and even marriage as a whole. Like, maybe you're married to one person, but you're still open and you have an open marriage, and I know a lot of times it's still taboo and we don't want to talk about it in the heterosexual community. So I just didn't know in the LGBTQ community if you had, you know, what are your thoughts?
I mean,
on
you
that?
Have, yeah, you.
Oh, I mean, like, I would say LGBTQ people maybe are already sort of accustomed to bucking the status quo in terms of norms.
Right,
and so maybe they're just more open to broach the subject with their partner.
Maybe
I don't know.
Just more open to the experience. And I think, too, it's like deal breakers. I feel like with a lot of heterosexual relationships or just the way society is set up, you naturally want to say, okay, you cheat, it's a deal breaker, you do this. So I think it is maybe just being open to the fact that some things can happen and it doesn't mean that this has to be the end of a relationship.
Right.
But that also doesn't mean that I want to be played and cheated on.
Yeah. I think when you're talking about, like, kind of flowing the fluidity, that's more of the generation below us. Like, oh my gosh, the girl who plays Akilah the Bee and
Kiki
Palmer and Olivia from Cosby Show. Like, they've talked about
Raven.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like, Olivia.
Olivia Raven.
But
I think Raven is more our generation.
Yeah, but she speaks on that. Like, she's spoken on, you know, the sexual fluidity, and, like, that's kind of been something that's one of those things where it's now becoming, I don't want to say the norm, but it's now accepted.
Engagement. Yeah, people are exploring it more for sure.
So. Yeah, it's just tough for me to speak on because it's a perspective that I don't have. I only have something that from what I see and people I talk to. But one of the things that I find interesting is I think I used to have these discussions with my friends where we would talk about just homosexuality in general, how, and, like, people would say, well, like, everybody's gay now. And it's like, well, no, that's not true. People have been homosexual since the dawn of time. They were just unable to talk about
it. Talked about in the Bible.
And so now that people are feeling comfortable able to express themselves, you hear about it more often. So the perspective from some people might be shallow based on what they see. But I think this might be a case of the similar thing of people in general feeling more comfortable speaking about things. So then people are like, oh, my God, this is happening all of a sudden, when reality is, no, this has always been a thing. It's just people don't talk about it.
And I think one of the stereotypes, too, that why you would assume that is because, if you remember the whole AIDS epidemic, the rumor was, you know, you have all these guys sleeping with each other and they don't have relationships and all this other stuff. And now you come with that stereotype, like, okay, well, if this is, and that wasn't even the case. So I think it just kind of came up with a whole bunch of those stereotypes. But they're kind of venting. They had a tough semester. But he shows up, order of X. Where do you think this is going to be leading to?
Child, a whole new world.
Yeah.
They spent so much of this season opening up the door for something completely new and unexpected, I think, for season three. I have no idea where all this is going to go.
Yeah, I think
Are they going to be seniors next year?
I think some are going to be juniors, some are going to be seniors.
I think, I could be wrong, but I thought like season two was is like sophomore? Weeks after
season like one. It's not, later. Yeah. It's just a few weeks.
Oh, okay. So I think this might be their, probably this might be the end of their sophomore year. Because they made references to the year before. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think this might be their end of their sophomore year, and they're going to be juniors. That's what I'm assuming.
Yeah. I think they are going to go down this path and discover the world of, like, secret society and with Sam and Lionel trying to get in or leading that forefront.
Yeah, and we'll definitely dive deeper into the Black history at the college.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping not only will we have the fictitious or maybe real Black history of the college, but also they'll throw facts that we don't know of, we don't know about. So, for instance, you know, Black History Month comes around, we hear about Rosa Parks, we hear about Martin Luther King, we hear about Malcolm X, but other things that, you know, have been around that we don't know about that we can also be educated on as well. So that's kind of hoping that Justin will do with that.
Yes.
Blossom Blossom.
How do you feel about...
I don't know. I mean, I love Juan Carlos Esposito.
Yes.
So I'm excited for whatever he's going to be part in, but I just, the teases throughout the season about the societies and stuff were just not that interesting to me. Mm-hmm. And the payoff was not worth it. And just like you said, how the things that you're excited about are the things that I'm nervous about. The fact that we have no idea what this structure of them being a part of the secret society is going to look like. Mm-hmm. How is that going to affect the show? Which characters are going to join? What characters aren't?
Right. Like,
there's a lot of things that are completely up in the air that I am not really happy with. Because they even touched on some of the secret societies already, like the white secrets, all of the other ones, I should say, instead of the white ones, being involved with, like, the Alt-IVW account and stuff like that, but then they never dug into it deeper than that, other than just, it's the same symbol on the fake Twitter. That's it. Mm-hmm. And to me, if that's as far as we're going to go now, and we're talking about the already established groups that we've seen that are not really that hidden, what are we going to do with the one that is for, like, the main characters of the show, which has been gone extensively for the first two seasons, except for the last 6 minutes of season two? But that's just me.
Okay. Questions that need answers.
Wow. Well, hopefully season three. Did they announce when you guys are coming back?
You're not
supposed to lie. You're supposed to wait till he answers the question.
No, I mean, I know nothing. Okay.
The face you give me is like, you know some stuff, but...
We're patiently waiting.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm sure they're going to come back. I mean, they're Emmy nominated. Yeah. D-Ron is nominated, so... Yeah.
So Justin said, like, hang tight, don't book anything.
I literally...
I mean, I have to try.
You're trying to trick me.
Just, you know, get those press releases out.
I have another question for you before we leave. What were some of your favorite TV shows growing up?
Oh, gosh.
That's a good question.
Some of my favorite TV shows, I mean, I can't even... Oh, this is so nerdy. I mean...
It's us growing up. It's fine.
Growing up or...
Yeah, no judgment. Or even now.
I'm a super nerd.
Like, when I was 10, I liked sitting with my mom on the couch and, like, watching Party of Five and, like, Melrose Place. And, or 90210.
I love it. I was not expecting that. So what about now? What are your
I also watch, like, kids' shows, too. Mm-hmm. Like, Nickelodeon stuff. And I didn't have Disney Channel, so I... couldn't watch anything.
You had Nickelodeon, but not Disney Channel?
Yeah.
That's so random.
We had, like, the cable package that had, like, Nickelodeon, and then we didn't.
Yeah, I think Disney's, like, the extra. Disney's, like, the extra, yeah.
Wow.
Nickelodeon's, like, oh, you kind of sort of middle class. Yeah, you kind of sort of middle.
That's
Nickelodeon, Cartoon Network, it's all basic cable.
Yeah. Lucky y'all.
Dope.
I mean, unless, never mind.
Oh, and The Simpsons. Oh, yes, The Simpsons.
Do you still watch The Simpsons?
No.
Okay. I don't think
it's prophetic, though. They've been hinting at things for years.
I mean, when you have, like, over 1,000 episodes, you're going to get a couple guesses.
Something's
going
to land.
Yeah.
Right. Something's going to land. We're going to get something landing. Nobody... So as far as your career, I do want to know what else you have coming up.
You've got a play coming up.
Yes. Yeah, I'm in a play right now at the Gary Marshall Theater in Burbank.
Yeah.
And
what's your play?
It's called Woodboy Dogfish.
Okay.
And it's a modern, sort of darker, more adult Pinocchio.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Oh,
so I play the Pinocchio character, but I play it through a puppet. So I sing and dance and act through this little puppet.
Nice.
That is, okay. Yeah.
It's very artsy, very dark.
Yeah.
Say the title again.
Woodboy Dogfish.
Okay, follow-up question. Were you a puppeteer before the show?
Yes. No, not really.
Wow, so you had to learn...
I had to learn how to... I mean, I've done some puppetry, but nothing like this. Like, I spend the entire show doing, like, a puppet, and it's, like, a two-hour show.
That's crazy.
But yeah, it was a huge learning curve, but...
That's cool.
Nice.
And now you know how to do it.
Ambitious, yeah.
Fascinating.
For you guys who are joining on iTunes, don't forget to give us 5 stars or better. Follow us on YouTube. Give us a thumb up. Thumbs up. Well, bums up. Thumbs up.
Hey! Thumbs that was up. My character.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it.
Oh, that could be a whole nother. I'm not even gonna. So subscribe to our comedy channel and all of that good stuff. Which brings us to the very end of the season. Ricky Carter, she makes her appearance. She lets us know that it's all fake. She's just acting, which kind of has. I wonder if Tommy Lauren and Candace, whatever her name is, Candace Owens.
Who doesn't even believe the things that she says?
Right. So I wonder if they're all in the same group as well.
What do you mean?
As far as kind of all the stuff that they're saying, they're just saying in order to make the money.
Yeah. And, you know, a couple weeks ago I was saying that, yes, these people are smart enough to get to a certain point, but it doesn't seem like they're that intelligent. And it almost comes off as if they're acting. Mm-hmm. And even I think Tessa Thompson alluded to that as well. Like, basically you play your part and you get your money.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that she proved me right. And I could see as well that that's also what, you know, Justin and some of the other writers were thinking as well. Mm-hmm. When it comes to these black conservatives... You know, it's like you have a responsibility to our community, but if you don't feel that way, so be it. But they view it as acting. It's like, I'm just playing this part and I'm going to get my money. It's so selfish and I hate
it's
it.
It's so sad.
But it is the truth.
I think it's not even to like the black people. You had the one guy or both the guy and the lady Carson. On Fox yesterday talking about, you know, laughing at the fact that families were getting separated. And one lady saying that the people, the children that were in the cages, they weren't really cages. They were just fences. Like, you can say you have people saying that with legitimate straight faces, but my whole thing is put your children in there and would you feel the same way? So it just feels like it's all about the ratings. I mean, I was going to say
the ratings. With the ratings comes the money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just think it's important to call attention to the part where she talks about her and the other guy, Carson, doing their book deal at the same time. And like
they're friends. Essentially.
Yeah, and that's why as much as I want to come down on the conservatives, it can be just as bad on the liberal side. They may say more things that we agree with, but they also can be just as sensationalized, just as only out there to get attention, to make money, to get views. And I think it was this was the best part about this finale and this whole season for me was getting Sam to confront herself and kind of look in the mirror and see. Kind of the path she's going on and kind of think about more, like really think about her actions. And which is kind of what we've seen as the throughput of what basically this season is about. It's about Sam growing. But that to me was very, I was not expecting that. I was expecting that scene to go completely differently. But I'm glad that it went that way.
You expect her to get Sam to read her. And
I thought they were going to like argue. I didn't think she was going to start crying, but I thought they would have like some intense debate or something like that.
Right.
But
yeah, it's interesting how she flipped it. She said like, you know, you're on the same. She's like, I listened to the alt-right people or whatever they are, and I started listening to your show, and I was very intrigued. And you know, you can eventually be the Carson, which made Sam kind of like. It's I don't know if you guys ever experienced that. It's like there's a certain point in your life where you have the purist mentality where, like, for instance, I wanted the utopia of, you know, black people getting together and I want, you know, good people to generally live together. Then you realize that that's not going to happen and we're in reality and there's that kind of switch that goes off where, you know, not every person is a good person. Yeah. And I think that's the moment where Sam realized that, like, you know, my intentions are great, but... You know, the pathway that I'm going on might not get me to the end goal.
I think the way that you say something matters just as much as how what you're saying. Did I say that right? Yeah. So you can be saying the most important truth to someone, but if you are expressing it in a way that they are not going to hear you, you're wasting your time.
Yeah. Or you're just talking to the masses.
Yeah. Or you're just talking to hear yourself talk.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So another thing, too, right before that happened, I noticed the dean, he went into the cops and they were kind of getting – you saw that point where they're getting ready for those kids, which makes me wonder, too, is if that's the case with other events that happen. So, for instance, like BET Weekend that's happening this weekend. Is that something where cops are getting ready for those people?
For sure.
Right.
I mean...
so sad.
Probably. I would assume that they would have those type of meetings for any large event or mm-hmm. gathering of people. I'm sure that they did it for all of the sports games and stuff too, but I'm sure that it's a different meeting for
But would it be different in South Dakota versus Chicago?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Of course. It's a different environment.
You know, I was hoping it would be different.
Well.
I just don't... I don't want to... Like, I don't know. I'm not going to say anything.
Go ahead.
Say it.
I mean, I am not pro police in any way. I'm actually very anti cops. But when you have rappers like 6ix9ine running around inviting violence, I would be concerned if he was coming to my place and I had to secure it. I would be concerned. I would have some type of meeting to be like, this guy is acting
crazy.
A fool and asking people who are really about it and we know are violent mm-hmm. to perpetuate violence towards him.
Well, it's different when somebody's inviting it, but it's also different where it's an event.
This is a completely different scenario. These are students on a school organizing a lecture. They're going to go sit down. Yeah.
And it's also interesting the things that we don't necessarily know about the cops and the meetings that they have. A lot of the times when we look at police brutality, we're just looking at it from the gaze of, like, this cop mm-hmm. is racist and he did this. Mm-hmm. But I just started listening to, Torre has a podcast, and it's one about going in behind them with the NYPD, but they're just talking about how they do have meetings where you're told to specifically go after black people mm-hmm. and to lock them up. And so it is like a system kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's sad. So essentially Sergio comes out, he's supposed to be introducing Ricky, then he realizes that there is a crowd full of black people and he essentially just moves on, and Ricky comes out and they're all her peers. Seems like she should have peed her pants, but what do you think of that kind of twist and Kurt actually helping Coco? Like, do you think that Coco approached him and she got it through sleeping with him, or do you think they got it done and then they just so happened to like each other and then they ended up in bed?
I can go either way. I have no
good question.
Yeah, I don't know.
I feel like she talked to him. Kurt saw like something that he saw, and so they
could have used each other.
Yeah. So what do you think? What's gonna be happening in season 3?
Well, I mean, I like that Coco was so instrumental in organizing that. So I don't know. I mean, I would predict that Coco might maybe even like start to butt heads with Ricky or something. That's maybe my theory or, mm-hmm. or prediction. Maybe she might get elevated to like a national kind of mm-hmm. thing. Yeah. But I don't know. I have no idea.
There's that face again. All right. Let's hit it. Dear white people. Do you want to start first or you want to kind of hit the end?
Oh, you guys go first.
Okay.
Go
first. All right. Dear white people.
You guys go first always means I go first. And
but you're always so good with it, though.
Nope. Dear white people, I don't have many more words to say. I mean, there's so much going on in the world. It's still room for, like, happiness and gladness. And yesterday was, you know, Juneteenth.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was.
We didn't even get a chance to really celebrate that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, maybe let's set ourselves up for next year to acknowledge that as well.
Hmm. Amen. I forget every time.
Right.
I'm like, dear white people, don't use black people.
Simple.
Right.
Because we talked about cops, dear all sworn law enforcement, if you are not actively trying to stop bad cops, corrupt cops, all of that stuff that you know happens and that you see happen, you are part of the problem.
Do you have one?
Okay, yeah. This is from something I saw on my Facebook feed.
Okay.
Dear white people, don't take pictures with children from poorer countries or developing nations on your vacation or your volunteer vacation, yoga retreat, whatever.
Yes.
Your yoga retreat. I know that's right. Oh. Your yoga retreat or whatever.
Oh wow. Dear people, educate yourself. That's it. All right.
Well, it's been a season.
It has been a season. Wow. Yeah. I feel like too. We as a panel have grown, so we'll definitely be with each other next. Well, unless, you know, everybody goes off to bigger and better jobs, we'll definitely understand. that'll be understandable. Other than that, where can everybody find you?
You can find me on Instagram at Rudy Martinez LA, like Los Angeles. And my Twitter is the same, Rudy Martinez LA.
All right, handsome one.
You can follow me everywhere at Keith _Andre.
And beautiful one.
And again, I'm Ivana. You all can follow me on Twitter at Ivana L. Williams and on Instagram at Ivana.Williams.
The fourth Migo.
I'm Nate Miller. You can find me on all social media at Dog Like Nate.
And you can find me on everything at TK Trinidad. We definitely appreciate you guys joining us. Thank you for hopping on a live chat, all those comments. Also, you guys should read the comments from last season. People have been actually watching back and, like, new people.
Oh, nice.
Some of them are really interesting. I've kind of had to clap back on a few of them. But other than that, really appreciate you guys for hopping on us. We will see you at season 3, unless we all get really big jobs, and then just hit us up on our Instagram, all that good stuff. At TK Trinidad. Other than that, we'll see you when you see you.
Later.
Ciao. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.